أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونتوب إليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا ما يهدي الله فهو المهتد وما يضلل فلن تجد له وليا مرشدا وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. All praise is due to Allah. We praise Him and we seek help from Him. We ask forgiveness from Him. We repent to Him. And we seek refuge in Him from our own evils and our own bad deeds. Anyone who is guided by Allah is truly guided, and anyone who has been left astray will find no one to guide him. I bear witness that there is no God but Allah, the only one, without any partner. And I bear witness that Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is his servant and his messenger. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu taqullaha haqqa tuqatih wa la tamutunna illa wa antum muslimun. O you who believe, be aware of Allah with correct awareness and awe-inspired awareness and die not except as Muslims. Can you all hear me without the microphone? Because it might be a problem with the mic itself, okay? My wife tells me sometimes my voice is too loud or too soft, you know. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu taqullaha wa qulu qawlan sadida yuslih lakum a'malakum wa yaghfir lakum dhunubakum wa may yu'ti allaha wa rasula faqad faza fawzan azima. O you who believe, be aware of Allah and speak a straightforward word. He will forgive your sins and repair your deeds. And whoever takes Allah and His Prophet as a guide has already achieved a mighty victory. In the opening verse of Surah An-Nisa, Allah says, O mankind, show reverence towards your guardian Lord who created you from a single person. Created of like nature his mate, and from the two of them scattered like seeds, countless men and women. Be conscious of Allah, through whom you demand your mutual rights, and show reverence towards the wombs that bore you, for surely Allah ever watches over you. My dear sisters and brothers, I see a number of new faces here today. They're young faces and they look rather keen to acquire knowledge. They must be students. The academic year has begun, and so I'd like to welcome the new students. Welcome to our Jummah. Welcome to our community. You should know that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam laid great emphasis on the quest for knowledge. And he urged Muslims, as I'm sure many of you have heard this hadith many times, seek knowledge from the cradle to the grave, seek knowledge even unto China. And as we know, Muslims went to China and they went even beyond in their search for knowledge over the centuries. In a way, every student who leaves home to go and study elsewhere is also making a kind of hijrah. A migration, traveling far from their homes and loved ones. And at a deeper level, or a higher level, they are also making a hijrah from ignorance towards knowledge, towards understanding, towards wisdom. And this is a noble ambition that is strongly encouraged in Islam. More than 14 centuries ago, Islam came to a land of desert nomads. They were so backward in the 7th century Arabia that the Romans and the Persians, the two great superpowers of the time, didn't even bother to invade. There was nothing to invade, nothing to conquer, nothing worthwhile to gain. And yet when Islam came to these desert nomads, and they studied and applied themselves to the Quran and the prophetic Sunnah, they were miraculously transformed from wild and warring tribes into a nation of supermen. their quest for knowledge and their iman and taqwa, which went alongside with it. It's not just about reading books and studying and getting degrees, but applying that knowledge, applying useful knowledge with faith in Allah and Allah awareness. It led them to build a great civilization, the fruits of which the West and the rest of the world is still benefiting today. Yesterday we had a mosque visit, as some of our brothers came to give me a hand with some of the students there, and we had some lovely posters explaining to them the wonderful contribution that Muslims have made towards world civilization, scientific and philosophical and other contributions. And remember that this all happened in a time when the rest of Europe, much of Europe, was gripped in fear and superstition. Dear brothers and sisters, as you commence this great adventure of learning at university, you should also be aware, critically aware, of some of the biases you might find in your study material. And I'll give you an example. For example, subjects like history can sometimes present a somewhat Eurocentric approach, a Eurocentric viewpoint. And by this I mean, it presents the history of humankind as if it's just an enlarged history of Europe, and it only touches on other civilizations in passing, without giving it its due importance. And that is one very big reason why Europe is largely ignorant of the big and rich legacy that Muslims have left, because this has almost been a kind of myopia, a kind of blind spot in their consciousness. I think sometimes done deliberately. But it's our job not just to sit there and complain, but actually to bring this to people's attention. This was how history was taught in my youth when I was at university many years ago. It was as if it was just an enlarged history of Europe. And other civilizations were marginalized. For example, you may read that Christopher Columbus discovered America. It's almost as if those First Nations were sitting there waiting to be discovered, you know. But actually he was looking for India, and he went the wrong way. He got lost. And the Red Indians, as they were called, or the First Nations, actually discovered him, and they told him where he was. And they gave him some potatoes and tobacco and things which he'd never seen before, and he brought that back to Europe. So it's all a matter of perspective. And be aware of the cultural biases, as I say, that you might find in your study material. Be also aware of some subliminal messages and hidden agendas that you might find, and especially in the natural sciences. Sometimes unproven theories are presented as hard truths. If you are studying the natural sciences, be mindful of the pervasive influence of Darwinism. You know, there's today a lively debate between Darwinists and creationists, and not all scientists are atheists, by the way. Many scientific theories and assumptions are there. They're all there to be examined, explored, and questioned. And don't take anything at face value. Do engage with your tutors and your fellow students in a healthy intellectual discourse. This is what university life is all about, to discuss, to debate, to explore, to examine. And this is what our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam meant when he said to his companions, "Seek knowledge even unto China. Seek knowledge from the cradle to the grave." Remember that Islam is not anti-scientific. People out there are trying to present us as being backward, as being against anything modern. But if you really study the history of Islam and the contributions we have made, and you study the Quran carefully and the Sunnah carefully, you'll see that Islam actually encouraged always has encouraged scientific exploration, when it was quite the opposite in some other religions at the time. But Islam encourages us to put things into perspective, not just to study knowledge for knowledge's sake. As I said earlier, it has to be useful knowledge that is going to benefit humankind. So, for example, there's a theory of the Big Bang, which tells us that some 14 billion years ago, all of energy, matter, space and time was concentrated and began at a single point, and exploded, and time and matter and energy came into existence 14 billion years ago. Secular atheists say that this all happened by chance. We Muslims say, no, it didn't happen by chance. It was part of a divine plan. And indeed, if the Big Bang is really what happened, we know it began between the letters, the Arabic letters, Kaf and Nun. Kun, be, fayakun, and it becomes, and it is. In the Quran, we find this explained very beautifully in the last verses of Surah Yasin. Bismillahi r-Rahmani r-Rahim. أوليس الذي خلق السماوات والأرض بقادر على أن يخلق مثلهم بلى وهو الخلاق العليم إنما أمره إذا أراد شيئا أن يقول له كن فيكون فسبحان الذي بيده ملكوت كل شيء وإليه ترجعون. Very beautiful end verses of Surah Yasin. Is not he who created the heavens and the earth able to create the like thereof? Yes, indeed, for he is the creator supreme of infinite skill and knowledge. Truly, when he intends a thing, his command is kun, be, fayakun, and it is. So glory to him in whose hands is the dominion of all things, and to him you will all be brought back. You see, in the Quran there is no story of the Quran, of the creation, that Allah, God, creating, spending 6 days creating the universe and then on the seventh day going to rest. Because Allah doesn't rest, and beautiful Ayatul Kursi will tell us that slumber does not overtake him nor sleep. Allah is not like some kind of super human person. He's not. Allah is not a human. There are no human attributes in Allah. And this beautiful verse explains it to us. So we must read these beautiful and eloquent verses of the Holy Quran to discover the simple truth about the beginning and end of everything. And I challenge anyone to take all the scientific theories about creation and put it side by side with the Quranic view of creation. And I promise you, we will not find a simpler and more eloquent and more beautiful explanation about how everything came into existence. Everything is the source of one creator, one loving, caring, sustaining, merciful creator. There were not many gods, there were not many creators, there was one creator. This is the message of Tawheed. And many times the Quran reminds us that everything will come to an end, and in the end only the face of Allah, only Allah will remain, because He is al-awwal al-akhir, He is the beginning and He is the end. Now, the idea that this infinitely complex universe, so beautifully balanced in every way, just came about by chance, is something very difficult to accept. And one of the great mathematicians and physicists, who was actually the Astronomer Royal of the UK, Sir Fred Hoyle, some years ago, was discussing this whole idea of all the complex laws of physics and chemistry and biology and everything, all the dozens of processes that are taking place in our bodies just keeping us healthy and alive. To think that all this came about by chance, he said, it's as if you were to believe that a tornado, a hurricane, like we had Hurricane Irma blowing through, you saw the destruction it made in America the other day, and the Caribbean. Imagine that hurricane blew through a junkyard, a scrapyard, scrap metal, and as it went out, you found a complete Boeing 747 jumbo jet assembled there by this hurricane, ready for takeoff. Now, if you can believe that, then you can believe that the universe came about by chance. I mean, that's the kind of analogy he used, and I thought it was quite a good analogy. So, finally, my dear brothers, don't look at the time there. That's not the correct time. Do indeed take your study material critically. Study also your Quran and your Sunnah and the prophetic Sunnah, which will enhance and strengthen your study work and your careers, inshallah, for the future. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala khairi mursaleen, Muhammadan Nabi al-Ummi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. أما بعد، إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي، يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. Allah and His angels send greetings on Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his family. O you who believe, send your greetings upon him and salute him with a worthy salutation. Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la hawla wa la quwwata illa billahi wa al-'aliyyil 'azhim. Glory to Allah, praise to Allah, there is no power, no strength except from Allah. My dear sisters and brothers, I do hope you'll enjoy your learning adventure. And by the way, I'm not just talking to the students, because the other thing that Islam teaches is lifelong learning. Don't think because you finish university and you've now got comfortable careers, you've got a nice home and a nice car and so forth and children, in my case grandchildren, that you stop learning. Learning is a lifelong process in Islam, and we never stop learning. We never stop learning even from our children and from our grandchildren. So I do hope that the students particularly will enjoy this great adventure of being at university. Remember, as Muslims, you will have a great advantage over many other students. You will have a spiritual dimension which informs your search for knowledge, and it gives it context and meaning. Whether you are studying petroleum geology or mathematics, computer encryption or medieval history, astronomy or management, you are really exploring Allah's wonderful world in order to make a positive contribution to humankind. Remember always that with every step that you take on this exciting journey, every new idea that swims into your mental, intellectual horizon, you should always say, Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar. Glory to Allah, praise to Allah, Allah is the greatest. When your colleagues say, wow, it's their way of saying, Allahu Akbar, Allah is great. They just don't know how to say it. All beneficial knowledge comes from Allah, because we live in a purpose of universe. This universe was not created just out of play and out of sport. And remember that every time you learn something new and useful, Allah has lifted a veil. He has uncovered another sign, another ayat for you from His beautiful unwritten Quran, which is the universe and the creation out there, the world of nature. And verse 190 of Surah Al-Imran makes this very clear. It's one of my favorite verses. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Inna fi khalqi samawati wal ard واختلاف الليل والنهار والآيات لأولي الألباب الذين يذكرون الله قياما وقعودا وعلى جنوبهم ويتفكرون في خلق السماوات والأرض ربنا ما خلقت هذا باطلا سبحانك إن فقنا عذاب النار. Behold, in the creation of the heavens and the earth, and in the alternation of night and day, there are indeed signs for men of understanding, for people of understanding. Men who celebrate the praises of Allah, standing, sitting, lying down on their sides, and who contemplate the wonders of creation in the heavens and the earth with the thought, O Lord, our Lord, not for nothing have you created all this. Glory to you. Save us from the torment of the fire, the penalty of the fire. My dear sisters and brothers, this khutbah offers some words of advice as the new academic year begins. And as I said earlier, life itself is a kind of university. The university of life has a faculty of hard knocks. And this is your coursework. Sometimes you have successes, sometimes you have failures. Sometimes you have hard times, sometimes things go easy. But this is life. It comes with the territory. And don't distress yourself. It's also part of your lifelong learning. And this is the informal education that we must all require to complement our formal education at university. When our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam urged his followers to seek knowledge, he was not just talking about formal education as we know it today. As you know, Prophet Muhammad himself was illiterate. He was not a person who could read and write. And yet he encouraged people to do so. In Islam, there's no artificial barrier between formal and informal learning, just as there's no artificial barrier between secular and sacred learning. All useful knowledge comes from Allah. The idea of separating secular from the from spiritual and so forth, it was actually a medieval Christian concept of separating what belongs to God, belongs to God, what belongs to Caesar, belongs to Caesar. We Muslims say everything belongs to God. We are all only trustees and custodians. So if you pursue knowledge that leads to a better understanding of Allah's wonderful creation, and you use that knowledge for the benefit of humankind, you are given a very high status. And I urge you to follow this prophetic advice, and I pray that Allah will bless your time at the university as an extended form of worship, as an ibadah for the benefit of all humankind. Ameen. Brothers and sisters, to conclude our khutbah, Inna Allah ya'mur bil adl wal ihsan wa ita'i zil qurba wa yanha anil fahsha'i wal munkari wal baghi ya'idhukum la'allakum tadhakkarun. Fadhkuruni adhkurkum washkuruli wa la takfurun. Wala dhikrullahi akbar wallahu ya'lamu ma tasna'un. Surely Allah commands justice, good deeds and generosity to others and to relatives. And He forbids all shameful deeds and injustice and rebellion. And He instructs you so that you may be reminded. And Allah says, remember me, I will remember you. Be grateful to me and do not reject faith. And Allah knows the deeds that you do. Ameen. Aqim as-salat.